Ghost Hunters returns October 1st to the Travel Channel as part of the Ghostober programming. We're pleased to welcome back to the Creepcast Steve Gonsalves. Steve, how are you, man? Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. You got it. I'm doing great. This is awesome.
That time of the year, we start to enjoy fall. Ghostober is part of that, right? So I had a chance to check out the first two episodes of the season at the Lighthouse, the library. They did not disappoint. I want to start with the Keeper of the Light. You got some old friends joining you for this episode. You had Amy, Adam, and Chris all together for the same investigation, which I feel like hasn't happened in a while. Would that be something that maybe we expect to see them sprinkled in this season, or is it just something special for Ghostober?
Ghostober, we definitely always, you know, want to do something a little, you'll definitely see them again. Maybe not all together, but definitely in the season. Amy and Adam, of course, still investigate with us quite often.
Yeah,
Chris has started again, and she's, you know, it's literally like she never left the team. It's awesome, and been a lot of fun. We've investigated with her a few times for this season, so you'll see her more than just once. But in that opening episode, it was our investigation, you know, it was important to have people there, you know, trusted. We knew the setup was going to be logistically a little peculiar, so to have somebody there helping that we knew was familiar with our equipment, how we do things, all of that was, it was just awesome. It really was awesome having all of them there.
That's cool to see Chris back too, and to know she's going to be around. Cause like you said, Amy and Adam have been on episodes a little more recently. So it's cool to see the whole game back together and some of the original people on the show. That's great. You really did capture some great audio footage at the Lighthouse, some very clear EVPs. I'm not going to mention what they were, but I thought it was pretty incredible because it was based on a claim by the client. So it's interesting to have some validation of some sort. But was it the most convincing EVP that you had captured? I mean, there's been so many, but this one just felt so clear, like they were in the room with you.
Yeah, that one, it was very clear. And that's not important, I should say. It's awesome because it's rare. But what's important about when they come through that, you know, that clear is you're actually able to sort of nuance your investigation and sort of switch how you're doing things and what you're going to sort of look into and investigate. And so that when they come through clear and you can make out the words, it definitely helps. But yeah, a lot of great phenomena there. To say it's the best we've ever caught, the most clear, I'm not sure. It definitely is up there because it's very rare. Very rare can you make out the words and the syllables. And you know, when we play it for our clients and when we're, you know, it's just the raw audio, you know, so it is what it is. It is, it's not, you know, so sometimes it's hard to make out in all of the, but on this one, you can hear the phonetics, you can hear everything, and it's really awesome.
Well, the one thing that I really like that you guys had started doing is that small touch where we have the audio visualization on screen. For me, it kind of heightens my senses too. So we're seeing it happen kind of live. And maybe it's the visual learner in me to put the visualization and the audio together. And the thing that I like most about EVPs, I think it's my favorite piece of evidence, even more than the visual, is that you can get sometimes those intelligent responses back that can probably, like you said, change the path of an investigation when that happens. And they can be so direct that it gives me chills, kind of freaks me out a little bit. And I can only imagine how that is in person.
Being there, yeah, it can be startling. And then you start thinking, like, if they're answering questions, like, oh, they can hear me, they can see me. They're like, it can be, you know, really unsettling. But if you do this, you know, as a hobby or whatever, in whatever capacity, it's part of the world. You know, you have to be ready for those unsettling and startling moments. You know, they're exhilarating. You know, it's the thrill rush of it. It's what keeps you motivated and moving. Besides helping people and having fun and loving the history, you know, that intense phenomena is what sort of keeps those long hours. And you know, we're not talking about manual labor here. Let's be honest. It's not, you know, but there are long hours, and you put, you know, you could be in the same room for 4 or 5 hours at a time. And you know, those are those moments where it's like, okay, that's why you do that. That's why you're having those experiences and that much. It's so much fun. It really is.
Yeah, I had a small experience with EVPs when I was in college. I was asking about a friend of mine who had passed away when I was in high school from cancer. And I was just asking questions about him. Didn't hear anything openly on the audio. And then on playback, I heard he's dead, but not in a voice that I recognized. Also interesting in that perspective point of view, like he's dead, not like I'm dead or something. It was chilling, to say the least, and not expected. So it was that playback moment that got me, kind of a gut punch a little bit too, right? So I can imagine on the investigations you have where you're, you know, talking about sensitive subjects or historical point of views, how that can strike you on the evidence when you're reviewing it. And so I always wondered if there was ever something, and I've seen it in some episodes, but maybe this season, where you didn't hear something at first while you were investigating, you went back and reviewed, and it was kind of that chilling aha like moment that you found that you didn't realize you experienced in the moment, but there it was on evidence. Is there anything that really kind of shocked you when you were reviewing something in the season, or a moment that stands out?
Yeah, reviewing is, you know, it's every investigator's, you know, that it's a love-hate relationship. Love it because you find evidence and you get so excited, but you know, you have to do it moment for moment. So if you are running, you know, 7 cameras and each camera runs for 30, 40 hours, you need to review that second for second. You may not be able to, but you should, you know, you have to. That's part of, you know, doing that is part of what we do. And what we do now, a lot of times, we always did it, but we would sort of implement it as a technique, is do real time, what we call real time analysis, where you're listening in real time to the voices that come through electronically. But it's important to have somebody there who's not, because you need to know what's organically in the environment, what's coming through the headphones. What if it's, you know, a neighbor across the street yells for no reason? You need to know that it's that. Where if you're just in your headphones, you'll never know that, and you'll think everything is, you know. So it's something that needs to be done carefully, but real-time analysis is awesome because we're not going back and re-listening and re-watching. Because that could be the next day, you know, that could be, it could be 2 days later, you know, you don't know exactly when. And so you're not there investigating anymore, but in real time, you're able to know, okay, we've been trying to talk, and I'm making this up, but you know, we've been trying to talk to Thomas, for 3 hours now. He hasn't said anything. Maybe we should, you know, but if you're constantly going back and, you know, you can sort of pivot the investigation a bit more with that. And it helps, you know, it really does. You're getting those answers in real time. Going back and recording is always valuable. And we did find some really good pieces in our review. I'd say a lot of it, honestly, this season is in the moment experiences and evidence, because we do a lot of that. We call real-time analysis now, you know, where it's there happening live. And, you know, for an audience, being able to see a bit more of our live perspective mixed in with the production of it, I think is really cool. And we had to, you know, logistically do things a little different to make that happen. Like our camera now have to be, you know, linked with theirs and for time and that sort of thing, so they know where we are exactly. But what's important about that is, you know, that those are the exact moments. You know, there's no the moment that camera guy, you know, because we're experiencing this thing, you know, that footage right there is the exact footage from my camera, you know, at that moment, or my audio from that exact second. And I think that's really, really exciting.
Yeah. And I mean, just in general, something I've always admired about your guys' show, especially, is that you really dig into the history, you dig into the scientific nature of it, and try and take everything into account, right? Like, it's not played up a little more dramatic, like it's in the moment, it's the real-time analysis, and it's grounded, I guess I could say, versus some other shows where I'm like, I don't know. So it feels, you know, great to have something like that that's based in more scientific analysis, I feel like. That's not always the case.
We try to, you know, at least I try, and I think as a team, if it, you know, disobeys the laws of science, say, we need to realize that, you know, it's misinterpreted. It's not happening in the physical world here. It's happening some other way. So maybe we're misinterpreting this experience or something. And that's kind of an important way to, but even with that, you know, it's easy to let these emotions and experiences get you carried away. You know, I find me and Jay Tango and I, like, or, you know, we're high-fiving and getting goofy.
Right.
So exciting. It really, really is. It's
well, and I imagine with the hours that you're in there too, you know, you got to keep things a little loose. You can't be kind of on like tense the entire time, right? You got to keep things a little loose from time to time. But I want to go on to Bound for Blood, the Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania Library in episode 2. Jason called it one of his top 5 investigations ever. Where would that rank for you? I heard that, I believe, at the end of the episode when you guys were kind of done. Where would this rank for you as an investigation?
Ooh, you know.
I know it's hard. There's been 15 seasons plus.
So. It's up there for sure. I don't know if I personally, because they could be different for different investigators. You know, for instance, true. There have been cases where, you know, because we all, like, I investigate with Jay every case. I investigate with Tango every case. Jay investigates with, you know, and it's not like we have these locked teams. So there can be cases where Jay goes in, and when he and I went in, you know, we didn't have any experiences. But say when he and Sherry go in, they have a lot. So that could be great. Or sometimes, you know, it's different. You know, recently, Jay went in, didn't have anything. Tango and I went in, all, you know, everything was going crazy.
Yeah.
I'd say this one, we definitely, I would say, yeah, he had a lot of stuff happening at that case. For me, top 10 for sure. One thing which was amazing, which we don't get to experience very often, is movement of objects.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I immediately, I'm sure everybody will, thought of Ghostbusters and the ghost, in the library. Like, I immediately started thinking about that, where things fly off shelves and it's, you know, a gothic library. I don't know. I immediately went to that, which was kind of a fun little, I don't know, nugget, if you will. I think that a lot of viewers will think about when they're looking at this. And it was so cool because it was the first time someone had investigated this space, right?
That's
so
true.
That's cool.
Yep. That's always you know, quite an honor that it is. Yeah, we're the first team that they allowed to investigate there, and which you know, is great because it allows us to not have any preconceived notions. You know, for instance, if we hear that, you know, the previous 3 or 4 teams have been in there communicating with, you know, a woman named Jane on the first floor, we may continuously try to do that as well. And maybe that's not accurate. You know, I don't really know. We don't really know. So it's good to go in unbiased and just investigate and explore it for ourselves. And that was really, really awesome. Yeah, that place, you know, I may reconsider that and put it in my top 5. Like, now that I'm thinking about all the stuff that happened there with the voices and the movement of the objects, and even seeing that thing turn. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, the collection that the group experienced, okay. By putting it, maybe as a group, it's in the top 5, top 3.
Yeah, now it's getting put in.
You're like, oh yeah, I need to rewatch the episode. Great. Yeah, the architecture of it, you know, the fact it was a church and it's a library, got converted in 1889, was just really cool to see. And then when you add up all the experiences that everyone will get to watch on the episode, it was really cool. There was at one point a doppelganger ghost, I think, that was something the client had brought up, which I'd never heard about before, surprisingly. Is that something you come across very often as a claim?
No.
That's the first time I had heard of it.
Yeah, very rare. We have investigated those claims before, and it is a legitimate phenomenon. You can even have a haunting, you know, of a person who's still alive, and that would be a doppelganger. You know, the person doesn't have to be dead, and you don't even have to be at a place that has dead people for there to be a haunting. You know, that's not necessary.
I had an interesting experience as a child. It's funny you bring this up. I'm not connecting it until just now. And we saw a mouse or something at our house when I was a little kid. I was probably 5, and it startled me, and I screamed. And when I turned, it felt like slow motion almost. I saw, this is the most bizarre thing that I still get goosebumps about it. I saw myself like standing almost in front of me with the same expression. And it kind of made me pause in a scream. And I've never been able to explain it. There was no mirrors around. I don't know if it was a mental thing, like fear caused something to trigger that in my head, but it was the most weirdest thing. And I don't really experience things very often. And I was probably 5 or 6. So it's funny you say that you can experience it while you're still alive, or if that was just a weird phenomenon that I'd went through at that time. So
it's hard to tell with kids, you know, because you don't know what is still in play in terms of fantasy and the mind.
Yeah.
It's difficult, but you may have experienced that. You never know.
I want to kind of wrap something up here. I know we chatted last Ghostober. It's a little different. I know you're not at your house, and you had some very macabre items that you collect, right? Some very interesting things. I feel like we should get some sort of Steve's Cabinet of Curiosities on Discovery, where you just have this thing that travels around. You like collect antiques or something like that. I feel like that needs to be workshopped for next Ghostober.
Thank you. Let's do it. Hey, I collect a lot of that. Macabre, grisly stuff.
Yeah.
It's all history.
I did see something tying into some programming and promos where you and the team sat down and watched some viral videos about paranormal clips that we saw on like TikTok, YouTube, and you kind of went through. Was there anything specific that we didn't see, or is there something you watch? Do you ever watch indie like paranormal investigators on TikTok or YouTube? I found one called Haunted Wesley Manor that I actually really enjoy. And sometimes it's almost as much about the personality as it is the investigation, I feel like. So was there anything that stuck out for you, or if there's anything that you actually watch?
You know, with those videos we looked at, I don't know. I haven't seen the finished clip. So I don't know which ones they used and which ones they didn't. But I was surprised by what a lot of people consider paranormal, quite honestly. It was a little startling. Like, you think that's
I agree. Yeah.
It was really cool to see that there are a lot of people out there who, you know, their techniques should be celebrated. I remember seeing a lot of videos like, wow, this guy, like, we should join forces. This guy is really awesome. Or there was a girl there who her lines of questioning were so, that was really, really cool to do.
Yeah. The technique with the grid light and the way he was kind of trying to debunk the shadow and that guy was really cool. And you guys appreciated that too. So there's some interesting things with the independent ghost hunters that you can watch and find and discover. It's really cool.
Absolutely. Well, Steve,
I want to say thank you for taking the time to chat. Of course, Ghost Hunters returns October 1st to the Travel Channel, and continued success, man. It just seems like this train keeps going, and I hope it doesn't stop, because I know the fans love it and you do such a great job.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah. Really cool.
Have a great Halloween.
Thanks for chatting.
See you guys.